Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are here. And with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gif. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
And I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and we're heating up here. So come on down, stop on by Hopper Carpet, and fly to another Broadwasted podcast. This is Bar Sun, the best Sunny can buy. So we're going to hit the hot. All sands on deck. Joining us today, the usual sand dollars, including Kevin San Hotel Jaeger.
Yeah, I'll take that one. Okay.
Kimberly, our Danny and Sandy game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Hello.
And with us today is someone you may have seen on Broadway in The Lion King, Les Mis, or of course Aladdin. Let's give him a big Broadwasted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Adam Jacobs.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Very good.
How are you?
Thank you for joining us.
I'm good. From straight from the sands of Arabia.
Well, before we get started, what are you drinking?
What are we drinking?
A little hard cider, a little Strongbow action.
Oh, I love Strongbow. We used to drink liters of it in London. And like, I literally mean like we'd buy like the 2 liter bottles of that.
That sounds great.
Or it wasn't, I guess it wasn't liters over there, or was it? I don't remember. Anyway, it was delicious. Kimberly, what are you drinking?
I have the 11 o'clock number. Patty Mirren and Molly Donald's line.
Nice. How is that? Is it good?
Actually, great.
It's Patty and Collins wine from Knocking Point, and it is a really great brew that they make their own wine. And it's every wine that they make is for a specific cause, and so you buy that wine, it goes toward different causes. Like,
I love that.
It's only intermission.
Yes,
and it says on there, Kimberly, what the wine goes to, right?
Yes, proceeds from the sales of this wine will go to causes benefiting the Broadway community while we await a safe return to the stage this year. So the more I drink, the closer to Broadway we go.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah, the more you black out and the closer you get to that. Exactly. Yeah. Kevin, what are you drinking?
I felt like going back to my early college days. So I'm drinking a rum and Coke, which feels strangely okay with me.
In a Moulin Rouge glass,
100%.
Oh, nice. Oh,
amazing. Beautiful.
Which, when I saw the show, it was a triple champagne, just so you know.
Just so everyone knows how Kevin sees shows.
That show, it was amazing.
And I'm drinking the Allagash River Trip Ale.
Ooh.
In my little Yeti container from via Kimberly. Thank you again.
Yay.
Love that.
It will stay cold.
It really does. Although
it's not going to get warm, but
I know. But also, like you said, because the holder is so heavy or has a weight to it, I definitely get tricked into thinking that there's more in here when it's empty.
Yeah.
I'm learning. But thank you so much for joining us. We're super excited to talk to you about everything, including the new film that you're in. But first, what's your favorite musical?
Favorite musical, I think West Side Story has been my go-to as of late.
So yeah. did you grow up on the movie? Like, okay, when you think of West Side Story, do you think of the movie or do you think of the stage? Like the order of songs in your head, which one is it?
Right. It's definitely the movie that goes through my mind when I think of that show.
Sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm definitely on the same page in terms of the movie is what I think of.
You were just talking about West Side Story the other day.
I was. Did you grow up on movie musicals more than seeing shows? Like what like really got you into it? What did you see that was like, oh, I'm going to do that. I want to do that.
Yeah. So my parents took me to all the touring shows that came through San Francisco. Cause mm-hmm. I grew up in Half Moon Bay, just south of the city.
Oh, cool.
And I saw a bunch of shows. I saw Cats. I saw Yul Brynner in The King and I, like one of his final performances when I was kind of dating. I'm dating myself a little bit, but that really kind of got the wheels in motion, I should say.
Sure.
And then really it was in high school where I got the bug, as they say. And I was casting all the musicals and shows there. And that's when I kind of knew that I wanted to do it.
Cool. Do you remember your first trip to New York and what you saw? If you did.
I saw Beauty and the Beast. That was my first one. Yeah.
Disney. Very cool.
Disney. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good precursor to your Disney career.
No, so I was the kid that grew up and like I did all like the theater camps and like the performances and stuff like that. And like, my brothers and sisters were very, like, I have one brother and two sisters, and they were very supportive, but they're all tone deaf, like, actually comically tone deaf. So, like, what was it like being the guy
that
did the shows with, like, the sister who was, like, also really talented?
Yeah, we're not, like, on the level of, like, the Osmonds, you know?
I mean, we get you a morning show?
Yeah. We would have to have my dad be a part of the family. Be a part of the group, and he's tone deaf, so that wouldn't have worked out, you know. But I definitely got it from my mom. You know, she's very artistic, and we did the whole church choir thing growing up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister actually started singing before me, and we were part of the Razzle Dazzle Kids. Song and dance group, go jazz hands. Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. I joined the group with her, and that's kind of how it started there.
Like, were there those moments that were like, I will not sing this song with my sister?
Like, well, when first joining, I was like, I don't know if I wanted to join to hang out with my sister, right? But I was at the age where the girls were starting to look a little cute. So I was like, okay. All right, I'll check it out.
That makes sense.
So let's flash forward to years later. Let's talk about you finished Aladdin or at least for the time being. Looking back on your experience with Aladdin, like what are you going to remember the most? What do you hope that like that experience that you had gave to other people? Like, I guess like, give us a mini retrospective looking back on it now.
Oh man. I mean, looking back on it now, it was a whole 7-year journey really from the initial readings, developmental readings to when I played the first year of the national tour, all the way from Seattle to Toronto, to Broadway, to the tour, everywhere in between. So, it's such an epic part of my life looking back. You know, it's like this huge chapter, and it completely changed my life, you know, from when I started to be able to perform on the Tonys, to have a category in Jeopardy where I got to do a clue. It was like I got to do so many amazing, I got to be a judge on The Bachelorette, you know, it's like crazy stuff.
I forgot about that episode. That was so good.
So, you know, it's the kind of thing where it's like, you have to pinch yourself and be like, did that really happen? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of how it affected people, it really just affected me in such a way that, I just felt honored to be a part of the Disney, you know, the history of it, because, you know, you have these super Disney fans, first mm-hmm. of all, who are like, you know, you better do this right.
Sure, yeah. Sure, sure.
And I felt like we did well and we paid homage to the film. And we also, you know, did the whole musical theater comedy spin on it, and plus taking it back to its original vision. So it's like all of this amazing things that just kind of fell into place. And Aladdin was a character I loved growing up, and I watched that movie it was probably my favorite Disney film. So it's just incredible that it worked out that way.
Do you, does it feel like a lifetime ago?
Yeah, it does now. Cause I have twin boys, they're seven. And they were born first day of rehearsal for Aladdin.
What?
Yeah. What a time capsule, or like a memory of like a timeline, a living timeline of your timeline.
It's a literal timeline. Their lives ran parallel to my Aladdin.
Wow.
Right. So that's really weird to think about, because I look at them now and how much they change in like a week, you know? And so like, it's really to measure, now I'm measuring time as a father. It's like, it's crazy.
Do you think becoming a dad like changed your performance?
Yeah, for sure. You know, because I was doing Proud of Your Boy in Seattle and Toronto, and then once they were born, I had a totally different perspective, obviously, as a parent singing that song. So yeah, like my whole show just kind of changed and grew as I grew, and that was kind of amazing, you know.
And what a cool experience to get to like show your boys like the Disney movie and be like, this movie, your dad did that on Broadway. Like,
yeah, you know, they saw the show. They saw it in New York a couple times, and they saw it on the road. Mm-hmm. And they actually toured with me on the road, which is awesome.
Oh, wow.
Because they weren't in school yet. So my wife and I, yeah, we did a whole year. You know, we played five cities in the one year. So it's not even a tour. It's just like multiple. Sure. And it was awesome. It was like the best experience ever, you know?
Cool. Can you talk a little bit about the differences of playing Aladdin on the road versus, and I know it's not the typical kind of road experience, as you mentioned, because you did a lot of, you just did like major sit downs. Yeah. Can you talk about the kind of the experience of playing Aladdin on the road versus like stationary in New York, the kind of the audience reactions and you know, routines that you would have to change up?
Well, in terms of audience reactions, they were massive every night, right? Not to say that Broadway audiences aren't like that, but when I got to play my hometown of San Francisco,
cool.
I mean, I was a literal rock star. Like, we were there for 6 months, or no, six, sorry, 8 weeks, 2 months. We were there for 2 months, and it was like it amazing, right? Mm-hmm. And we played Seattle, we played Minneapolis, we played, you know, just these big cities, LA, we played LA, we finished in LA. Mm-hmm. I really felt like the energy, they appreciated us coming to their towns, and they were just eating it up. They loved it all. And, you know, in terms of me having this change, the difference I feel like in performance wise, you know, I had a different cast, first of all, right? I had a new cast, and a lot of them were actually a lot younger. So I kind of felt like the veteran coming in, and I kind of was like, all right, you know, it was weird, because I was like, they all knew me as playing Aladdin, and mm-hmm. I felt like they were kind of like looking up to me too much. I'm like, guys, please don't stop. You know, stop that. I just want to be with you guys and experience the show, and you don't have to like pretend I'm this like amazing person or whatever, you know, just mm-hmm. like, so, cause we work together and we really made the show our own on the road as well. And, I loved working with Izzy McCalla, mm-hmm. and she was my Jasmine. And
awesome.
Yeah, she was fantastic. And, yeah, I mean, we made it our own, we did it, and, you know, it was just like the perfect ending to my Aladdin career, just to be able to play my hometown and to do the first year of the national tour. That's, you know, awesome. It was like just the perfect ending, I felt like.
Cool. Awesome. So you said Seattle, San Francisco, Minneapolis, LA.
Yeah.
Did you ever play Tuesdays in the corner with Kevin?
Kevin's Corner.
Welcome to Kevin's Corner.
Adam. That works much better in person. We're doing our best here.
It has now been almost a full year of trying to do that on Zoom, and it has gotten better.
Well, regardless, Adam, welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I like to do whatever I like to do, just a fun, zany, kind of weird, kind of question world. So right. Jamie is the name game. So I played on your first name. And so what I'm going to do is the way this is going to work is I'm going to say, wait, aren't you? And I'm going to describe someone and you're going to say, no, that's not me. That's, and then say the person it actually is who shares the same first name as you.
Oh, okay. Okay. So other people named Adam. Yeah. That is the category. Okay.
The category. So the first one, wait. Aren't you the comedian and actor known for Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison?
No, that's Adam Sandler.
Oh, right. Okay. Wait, aren't you the accomplished actor of stage and screen that appeared in The Marriage Story and the Star Wars saga?
Oh, no, that's Adam. I'm blanking on
beep,
it.
Beep, honk, honk.
What's his name?
You do this in a car, Hong Kong,
maybe? Driver, Adam Driver, thank you.
Oh, that is Adam Driver, you're right.
I'm gonna need help, I'm horrible with this stuff.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
Wait, you've done two. Aren't you the artist who rose to prominence on American Idol and has become an incredible vocalist and LGBTQIA+ activist?
Yeah, no, you're thinking of Adam Lambert, I think.
Ah, right, okay, yeah, of course. but wait, aren't you the super sexy lead singer of Maroon 5 and the popular judge on The Voice?
Oh, that's Adam Levine, I think.
Oh, right. Of course. Duh. Right.
Levine?
Okay, it's really awkward that you don't know who our guest is.
but wait. Aren't you known for playing the role of Ben Wyatt on Parks and Recreation?
Oh, that would be Adam. I need help. I don't know. I forget.
Do you know Back to the Future?
Yeah.
What does Doc say? What's his line?
Marty?
Oh, no. Great what?
Great Scott. Adam Scott.
There it is. Wait. Aren't you the person known for playing the Dark Knight Batman Bruce Wayne?
Oh, that's Adam West.
Ah, yes, you're right. West. But wait. Aren't you the first man ever created by God? And didn't your rib create Eve?
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's me.
Nailed it in one.
No, that's Adam from the Bible.
Oh, yeah, right. Adam.
Adam Bible.
Wait, aren't you the American stage actor known for playing Henry in Next to Normal, Boy and Peter and the Starcatcher, and Nino and Amelie?
Adam Costello? No, I can't remember.
Adam Chandler Barrett?
Adam Chandler Barrett.
That is who you are.
Great. I've seen him perform. He's good.
Wait. Aren't you the Adam that while attending St. Ignatius College Preparatory was fortunate enough to be cast in the leading roles of Billy Bigelow in Carousel, Drummond and Inherit the Wind, and Marius and Fanny, and Che and Evita?
That's me!
That is you! Yes! And the last one, wait, aren't you the musical by Andrew Lippa that's an adaptation of the TV show that was an adaptation of a cartoon single panel about a spooky family?
The Addams Family?
Ah, there it is. And that's been Kevin's Corner.
Wait, I love how many of these, you said a lot of the second words in your question. Yes. I love it.
But well done. You survived Kevin's Corner.
Woo!
I was also very impressed by your range of roles in this preparatory program.
Yes, I have played a wide variety of roles due to my multi-ethnic heritage.
Yeah, I was very impressed. I was like, wow, they really put you through the ringer to make sure that you like really could do it before they gave you a degree.
It's true.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
That's amazing.
So, let's talk a little bit about the movie that you're currently. So, and I guess you'll always be in that movie, but it's new, so it's current.
Oh yeah, film.
Yeah, film's crazy, right?
Weird.
This performance you did that exists forever.
And it was my first time doing this show, and my producer was like, "Let's tape it. Let's have like five GoPros and like three cameras. Let's just do like let's just tape it. See what happens."
So is it's that
like
how it happened?
That's how it happened. It was a cabaret in Los Angeles. It was at Vitello's in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And it was like 2 years ago now, almost. It was December. And it was Behind the Curtain was the name of the show, and that's the name is of the film as well. And I, you know, decided to do this show while I was also filming another film by the same producer called Last Call in the Doghouse.
Sure.
Supposed to be coming out, you know, pretty soon as well. So those two things kind of coincided. But Behind the Curtain was this new concept. It was kind of like, we like to call it the docu-concert, because, you know, it was, there were little interviews kind of spliced in and pictures from my past. And I got to talk about my career and really kind of go more in depth and talk about, you know, personal things. And so it was an opportunity to really just kind of go there. And I had fun with it. It was, you know, mostly Broadway in the beginning, but then I kind of segue into like some pop and rock, which I think will surprise some of the fans out there.
Sure.
You know, talking about showmances and all kinds of fun stuff. So, yeah, I hope we don't have a release date just yet, but, keep an eye out and it'll be coming out soon.
Cool. And then talk a little bit about Last Call in the Doghouse.
Because that's
something that we're looking forward to as well. Talk a little bit about that film, what we can expect from it, when we can see it.
Yeah. So Last Call in the Doghouse, I kind of like to say it's a little bit, Touched by an Angel, a little bit Twilight Zone. There's with a little bit of sci-fi element in the sense that I play a part of this family that is, omniscient, I'll say. And we own this bar in New York City. And basically at last call, people will come in and they are in need of our assistance essentially. And we help them and we save them in a way. And so when I read it, it was originally written as sort of like this episodic, you know, pilot. Mm-hmm. And they decided to then make it into a film because, you know, why not? I was really brought in by that sort of idea, just the idea that, you know, you have this, I play Mo, who is it's short for Moses, and he's, you know, kind of an adopted part of this biblical family in a way.
Mm.
And he's there, you know, he was human, you know, anyway, like, so he's there to really, to help out. He's a bartender, but at different points, we all kind of tag team and we will go, we will jump in time. You know, we'll go to Nazi Germany. We will, you know, we go to Afghanistan and with, for the war veterans. So it's like, we kind of jump around and try to help this person work through their demons and cool. save. Yeah. So it was a really cool idea. It's called Last Call in the Doghouse. And I think Bruce, the writer, Bruce Reisman, who directed it and wrote it, you know, he's been around a while. He's great to work with, and he's working on a sequel. And I think he wants to make it a trilogy, actually. So we'll see if that happens.
Will the second one be called "I Swear This Is the Last Call at the Doghouse"?
Yeah, no, I think the next one is what is it? What did he want to call it? In Dog We Trust, which I thought was cool. You know,
that's cool.
Yeah, Doghouse obviously is the, you flip that and you understand sure. what the plot is. So,
third one is Please Leave. Please Leave.
Yeah. Doggone it. Yeah. That's
what yeah. yeah. Yes. Should we play a game?
Yes,
sure. I mean, I was very surprised at how well I did in the last game. I'm not really normally that good. So we'll see how it goes.
A less gamey of a game. I made up a game after watching WandaVision all week, and then also talking about Disney with all of the children at work. So,
okay,
we're gonna play a game called A Whole New World.
Okay,
and we're each gonna get a chance to create a new fantasy fairy tale land.
Okay, loves.
But then also, sort of how you would set a musical in that land. Okay, so what I have in front of me. So you'll each get to choose. I have two categories, and since we are not together and we can't pick out of a hat. Choose a number between 1 and 4, and I'll give okay. you two of these little things. One is like the location of your fantasy land.
Okay.
Or just kind of the essence of it. And one is the kind of musical it might be.
Ooh, okay.
And then I also have a stack of Lights of Broadway show cards if you need any inspiration.
Ooh, Broadway show cards. Wait, what are those? Those are actually like...
Yeah, they're Broadway trading cards.
Oh,
they're
Broadway trading cards. Yes, yes, yeah.
Broadway Swigs. I have you in here somewhere, I'm sure.
Love it. Awesome.
Brian, do you want to go first?
I would love to.
Great. Two numbers between 1 and 4.
I'm going to go double 3s.
Double 3s. Brian, you are going to have to create for me a fantasy realm set in the golden age of musical theater.
Okay.
Ooh.
Is that... Wait, so my fantasy realm is golden age and my theme is golden age?
You did it to yourself.
Almost together, because I just said golden age musical and then just fantasy realm. Because I was trying to differentiate between the others, and I was like, well, it could not be Earth. But like in the way Game of Thrones is a fantasy version of Earth.
Okay.
Fantasy. Okay, fantasy that way. All right.
Okay, understand.
So it's like Middle Earth or like Top Earth or like Bottom Earth. Like
yeah.
Got okay, it. So in my fantasy land, the highest of all occupations is the actor, and all the actors are unicorns. But when they step on stage, they transform into their human form, and everybody in the land is like Game of Thrones fights, like. You know, the dwarves don't like the orcs, and the orcs don't like the hobbits, and they all fight and whatever. But the one thing that brings them all together are the unicorn troop, and so within this land, it's like a musical within a like fantasy land. So the musical is. Yeah, I'm getting there. The musical is
they build out the world. Yeah.
Yeah. The musical is a golden age musical that everybody is attending. All of the races of this land are attending.
Okay.
And it's kind of like We Sing in Sillyville concept, where like they get everybody to like work together, and they see themselves reflected in this. And so the unicorns do a golden age type of musical, and they take the form of the people like your favorite golden age stars, like Mary Martin Ethel Merman. And
like, who can I show you?
Yeah. And like Rex like Harrison.
Will run in Germany, but it won't do very well on Broadway.
What?
Like do well in Germany.
This show.
Oh, yeah.
Hamburg. Oh,
wait, Kevin, I don't think you understand. We rented out the Starlight Express space exclusively for this run.
Because I was like, there's no stage for this in New York. But I was like, but Germany will love
this. Yeah. The Lord of the Rings set is still in Toronto.
100%.
Yeah. And they will also do this. This actually tours really well because there are a lot of these like empty spaces across the country that like they can just use in like gymnasiums and conference centers and stuff like that. So that is my fantasy golden age musical.
Your show is the best.
What's it called?
Unicorn Troop. The Unicorn Troop.
What's the standout song? Like, what's the single on the album?
We're all in this together.
Great.
Is the standout song?
It's not related to High School Musical.
No, it's not. They actually some performances they just do High School Musical because that brings a lot of people together. Yeah. Well, they adapt the music. They take the pop out and it's a ballad.
The golden age version of High School Musical, of course.
Yeah, and then
High School Musical is like one step away from Pillow Talk. It's just one step.
Then this is in the style of Guys and Dolls.
Of course.
Yeah. Frank Lesser really did a number on this one.
Woof.
Cool. All right, Kevin, two numbers between 1 and 4.
All right, let's do 1 and 4. Just to...
Cool. Kevin will be creating for us an immersive space musical.
Okay.
Ooh.
So it's
top unicorn troop.
Oh, I thought you meant an immersive space. So I was like, a space that's immersive. You're like, no, immersive space. Okay.
A space musical that is immersive.
So obviously the first thing that needs to happen when you walk into the theater, you hand your ticket and the usher hands you a pair of those moon boots that were so cool in like the 90s. That you like thought you were walking on the moon because you were just walking on those rubber bands that like our parents hated putting those shoes together because it took like 2 hours to put the shoes together and we broke them in 10 minutes. But anyways, so you all get those moon shoes and you walk in, so you're just like walking around like this. And then all of the actors are instructed to use the like largest vibrato they can in space. So, like, the entire piece is written to be about the first, like, voyage to space. But all of the actors are, like, singing, like, what's happening in Houston, like, the control center, and what's happening in, like, the space shuttle. And then there's one actor who's playing the space shuttle. But they were just, like, as you get further away from Earth, use more vibrato. So it's just like as they get further and further away, they're like, we are here. And then it just becomes the crazy vibrato musical. And the show is called To the Moon We Go. And as like the O's go, it's like more wavy of the O's to show the vibrato story.
Nice.
Wonderful. What's the hit song?
And the hit song is called...
We're all in this together.
The hit song is called The Man in the Moon. And then the vibrato of the moon, it just changes every time, no matter what singer sings it, based on how much gravity. And can you tell me who the lead is?
Absolutely.
It is, stop.
Mandy Gonzalez.
Oh, cool.
Mandy Gonzalez, and who's her co-star? And stop.
Laura Dreyfus.
Mandy Gonzalez and Laura Dreyfus are the moon ladies.
Absolutely. The moon ladies. The moon. Women in the moon. Perfect.
Yeah. And that's the moon musical.
The moon musical. Well, Adam, would you like to pick two numbers between 1 and 4?
Yeah, I guess 2 hasn't been done yet, right?
Correct.
So 2 and Four, I guess.
Perfect. Kevin just picked four.
Okay, so two and three?
Two and three. Let's see. Okay. I need a historical fiction musical that is a jukebox musical.
Historical jukebox. Let's see. Where should we go in history? I think we should go to, Roman times, Egyptian times. Let's go Egyptian. Egyptian's fun, right? Yeah, for sure. So we're in Egyptian time.
I mean, you're super into sand.
Right? I
mean, love sand.
It's on the brain. It's on the brain and in my brain. Sand.
I do love that you immediately went to the sand world.
because Egyptian history is fascinating. So you're going to have mummies. You got to have mummies. And you're going to have mummies dancing to Love Shack. And... so we're going to go, and maybe obviously we got to do like Beach Boys type of music.
Obviously.
Because it's the sand, except there's no water. And that's kind of the conflict. That's like it's like you're in town, but like with we need to find, it's in the sand and there needs to be water.
Sure.
Oh, okay. So yeah. I get it.
Yeah, you get it. You get it. Now you got it.
I'm with you.
It's the mummies doing Beach Boys songs. Yeah.
Mummies doing Beach Boys songs. And, they're really looking for water and there's this one great, number where you have the mummies and all of these, people in Egypt, just like getting the reeds to make papyrus. Right. And they're like doing this whole, this whole paper dance. Right. It's like, the kids like to call it like the paper number because they don't really know. What else, how else to call it, but,
got it.
Yeah, you're right. And, Chris Fratelli has done all the choreography. It's like amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
And, you have like the guys spinning on the papyrus and doing, like newsies like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Newsies, but mummies.
And there are elements in there of Japanese theater so it's like a mix of kabuki and Egyptian with like all the straps and stuff and a little bit of like Olympic ribbon dancing. So like all of that combined, makes this amazing, spectacle. Really makes no sense at all, but that's the art of it, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So you're like watching this and you're like, what the heck is this? It doesn't matter because it's awesome. At the end of act one, you have these giant water tanks that spill out from the wings and they create these waterfalls onto the stage. And they do this whole like praising Ra, the god. I don't know what the rain god is though, saying
the sun god, but yeah.
Yeah. So maybe they're saying to hell with you, sun god. And we're now going to worship the rain god and we're going to dance in the rain and everybody just like they're stripping their clothes off and like, it's like blackout right as like, it's like the,
like hair.
Like hair. Yeah. With like the back silhouette, thing. And everyone's
and the full Monty too. Yeah.
Full Monty, yeah.
I think the rain, I just looked it up. The Egyptian rain god is Tefnut.
Tefnut. Sorry. God bless you. What?
Yeah. Tefnut, something like that.
I just have to say for a fact that Brian and I actually write musicals, and yet Adam's musical is 10 times better than what both of us came up with.
Speak for yourself. The Unicorn, I don't even remember the name of it. The Unicorn Club.
Okay, so Adam, what is your musical called?
Oh, yes.
And would you like any actors?
This is make or break.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Let's do the leads first. And,
okay, obviously.
Yeah, and stop.
Oh, that's a show, not a person. Patrick Page.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's perfect.
Right. Yes. Yes. He'll play Ramses or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And Corbin Blue.
Oh, nice, nice. Oh,
what a good show.
Absolutely. High School Musical.
Yeah.
High School and the hit song is We're All in This Together.
That's the name of that one. But the name
jukebox
of
jukebox version, so it is from.
That's right. Yeah, it's got to be the jukebox name. It's got to be like Egypt's. Let's see, Egypt land. No, that's kind of lame. Like Egyptomania. It's got to be Egyptomania.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I would see. I'm assuming it ends with a Megamix.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Egyptomania.
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah.
Is it really a good jukebox musical if it doesn't end with Megamix?
Yeah.
No. Or it's not a good one.
Yeah.
You have to get on your feet.
Oh, you have to. I have a serious question.
Yes.
Why have we not seen a jukebox musical that, like, is about a jukebox that plays songs that, like, you know, like, I feel like it's a
like
ripe opportunity.
Like an enchanted jukebox.
You can go Enchanted. You can just go that, like, it takes place in a bar and the jukebox is broken except for, like, it plays when, like, someone needs to express emotion. Like, why is this not a thing? This is, like,
why have jukeboxes itself? Not written musicals?
Why? Yeah. Why don't they take this? Yeah. They don't take this opportunity to really feature themselves. If Lynn can be in Hamilton and In the Heights, a jukebox can also write a musical and cast themselves.
That's good.
Actually, all right. So a real question. So Broadway has been dark.
I resent that, Kevin.
I haven't had a turn.
So, oh, hey. Yes. Kimberly's got to go.
All right. Kimberly, get a turn.
Well, I am left with a rock musical set in magical realism.
Okay.
And so obviously I'm going to take a turn from the Dresden Files. A good series that I liked the TV show and no one else did because it got canceled.
I like the TV series. See, I watched it with your husband who doesn't like it as much
he
as
hates
I did.
It, but he loves the books.
Yeah.
And that's why he hates the TV show. I've never read the books. I love the TV show. Anyway, that's fandoms. In general, this is going to be a dark noir magic musical. It's probably like in a black box, like, I don't know, like a magic show. There's real, like the lead actor's doing some real like mentalism things. Mentalism? Mentalist?
Sure.
Magic. He's doing magic. Mm-hmm. But he's also solving mysteries. Mm. So there's an element where he like just starts the show and he's like, I'm really like, my assistant's not here and I wonder where she is. She must be running late.
Okay.
And then the whole show, ends up just being him searching for his assistant. And then at some point the black box kind of busts out and you realize you're in a real big theater and the rest of the show happens. While he has to fight the werewolves that have been holding his assistant captive.
Yes.
And it is called, it's a rock musical.
Right.
So there's a lot of like leather jackets and like solos downstage in a spotlight. Mm-hmm. And we'll call it like Howling for Love.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see who's in it.
Yeah, who are sorry.
Stars Brandon Uranowitz.
Oh, yeah, I would say that.
Interesting.
And you know what? Sure. And Elaine Stritch. And Cynthia Erivo as the missing assistant who just gets a lot of songs from like up in her kidnapped balcony.
She's awesome. She's the Linda Eder character.
Yeah, but turns out she's been a werewolf the whole time and she wasn't really missing. She was just luring him to the den. Yeah, and the main song is We're All in This Together and it's the werewolves as they get pumped up.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
All right, that's been a whole new world.
That's amazing.
Hey.
Kevin, did you have a super serious question?
Yeah, now that we were silly.
Yeah. Okay, super serious question. So Broadway has been dark for almost a year now. Mm-hmm. We're all excited for it to come back. If you were placed in charge of Broadway coming back and you could make like three new decrees to like set Broadway on a new and exciting path, what would your three decrees be?
Decrees. Well, first would be making it accessible to everybody. So ticket prices will have to come down. And I'm not sure how that would work financially, business wise, but that's what I would decree. I'll say,
you don't have to figure it out.
You figure it out.
Yeah. You decree.
Yeah. I decree. So theater for all, right. Second decree would be, let's see. I think it should, we should go to like the opera schedule and make it like six shows a week and get paid the same amount of money.
Okay.
Go crazy. Right. Kill yourselves. No more double doubles on the weekend.
Yeah.
No,
okay. Sure.
No more double doubles. We'll just say that. I think there should be, as my final decree, there will be some kind of like gladiator setup where we have all of the Broadway stars battling each other, not to the death, but like, you know, to like the highest note or
So a Broadway Olympics.
Broadway Olympics. Yeah. We have the softball league, but that's kind of lame now. We got to do something bigger.
Totally. You got to step it up. I love this.
I love those three decrees.
Yeah.
Well, talking about shows, we talked about your favorite show. Do you have a favorite experience seeing a show? It may have not been your favorite show, but like it kind of like changed your DNA walking out. You just had a very like what, however you would define your experience, but it definitely was changed you.
Yeah. I don't know why right now Light in the Piazza is coming in my head. I love seeing that musical. Anything at Lincoln Center is just so beautiful, you know. And Adam Gettle's music just kind of really, I think because I have a sort of a classical background, you know, playing piano at the conservatory when I was a kid and all that.
Sure.
And his music is that sort of in that vein. And I just thought it was just amazing what he was able to create. So I think that kind of just gave me a new appreciation for
did you see Victoria Clark like actually like original cast play?
I did. And with Matt Morrison and
Kelly O'Hara.
Yeah, and Kelly O'Hara. Yeah.
I can't imagine thinking about seeing Victoria Clark on stage actually doing that part. Like that's just like,
it was yeah.
Yeah.
That's too much.
It was great.
Yeah. Totally.
And then before we head out here, my last question for you is what I just forgot it. I had it in my head. And I totally forgot it. Yeah, Kimberly, you go.
My favorite ask people from Disney shows is, do you have a favorite stage door experience? Because Disney stage doors are insane.
Stage door stories
with Adam Jacobs. The stage door is it's an experience with Disney fans for sure. I will always get people coming up saying like Disney Whole New World was at my wedding, you know, we played it at the wedding. You'd have tons of girls dressed as Jasmine, but I always loved when the boys came dressed as Aladdin. You know, you didn't see those very often, and I was just like, yeah, you know, it just made me feel good. Of course, you know, we brought in people from Make-A-Wish. I've had so many like touching, amazing stories like that. And then you get like the crazy stories too, where it's like, you know, the teens are like yelling and screaming, but it's really, you got to watch out for the moms because they're the ones that are like, they came up with Aladdin and they're like, you know, hey, we're going to be at the hotel bar later.
It's like that. Yeah. The Hilton's right on the same block.
It is best. Yeah, right.
Well, the diamond in the rough can find me at 52nd and 3rd.
My question from before was going to be what kind of hobby or, you know, side hustle, what's one thing from your quarantine that you like never thought you'd do, but you're all here you are.
Oh yeah. Interesting. I did like a whole Broadway backyard intensive in my backyard. So for all the local theater kids around Chicago where I live right now, like we had all these kids who had all their shows canceled, you know, in the spring, and and they were all bummed. And I said to my wife, who would, she danced at Mary Poppins on Broadway as well. She's a Broadway performer. And we said, let's do something and we'll space everybody out. So we can, we had like up to 15 people being spaced out. And we did some Footloose. We did some Mary Poppins. We did some Friend Like Me. So we did all this fun stuff. And the kids just ate it up because they were like desperate for that live experience. So I never thought we would be holding a school in my backyard.
Sure.
We did.
That's awesome.
That's so fun.
Yeah. Well,
thank you so much for taking the time and joining us to talk about all this stuff. Again, just to remind people who are listening, check out Behind the Curtain as well as Last Call in the Doghouse when those are available. We'll post about them on our on all of our social media as well. But you can follow us at Broadwasted across all social media. You can find us on Patreon as well as Facebook. Join our Facebook group. We do 30 Nerdy Stuff. We always end with a quote. And today's quote is, do you recall that windy little beach we walked along that afternoon in the fall, that afternoon we met? A fellow with a concertina sang, what was the song? It's strange what we recall and odd what we forget. I heard la-da-da-da-da as we walked on the sand. That is Song on the Sand from Lacage. I probably read it very poorly as I typically do. But you can also, of course, find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us there. Five stars, please.
And thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Adam. We really, really appreciate it. We're Adam, super happy you knew exactly which you. Adam you were. Kevin?
Yeah.
Where can people find you on social media?
You can go to Adam Jacobs NYC on Instagram or Twitter. Adam Jacobs NYC, that's me.
Cool. Perfect. Easy.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. So we raise a glass, and we always end with zoo-doo-wop-ba.
Cheers.
Cheers. Beer.
Thank you.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.